Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this day, and I thank you that you are with us, that you're with us forever, and that you are the God that loved us incredibly from the beginning of time. Accept the offering we just gave you in song, Father, and accept the offering we're about to give you as we read your word and learn about you. Help us to take the things that we learn and to apply them, not just for today, but for all the days that we live. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, or Christmasesian, I should say. I was going to start off with some Cowboys jokes at Dom's expense, but then I watched the highlights of my Aggies last night, and I saw that that wasn't much better. So I shouldn't make fun of one man's football team if I'm not willing to make fun of my own. So there you go, to our favorite mailman, Mr. Dominique. But it is officially Christmas time. Okay, so for all you Scrooges in the household that said that you couldn't play Christmas music before Thanksgiving, well, now Thanksgiving's over, so you can play the Christmas music, you can listen to and do whatever you want as far as Christmas is concerned, you can decorate, you can have all the fun with Christmas that you want. It is a great and wonderful time of the year. As a kid, Christmas is so much fun for a variety of reasons, right? We anticipate Santa. We look forward to the gifts and the toys and the food and the candy and all the aunts and uncles and everybody that's going to bestow their favor upon us. I remember I was telling my family that my favorite Christmas of all, I remember it with a great memory, is the Christmas of 1983. Because in May of 1983, Return of the Jedi came out. And that meant it was after my birthday, so I had like 6 months to anticipate all the toys that I was just sure that I was going to receive that dealt with Star Wars. Unfortunately, it didn't necessarily work out that way. I did have an awesome aunt that gave me some, but I just remember being 9 years old and just the excitement of all that comes along with Christmas. And then as we become adults, it changes a little bit. We look forward to family and friends, and then we also realize that family is coming. We get excited about their arrival, but we begin to think about the logistics. Who's going where? What are we cooking? What are we preparing? All the different things that go along with that. Who's traveling this time? Who's coming to us? All these things that happen around the Christmas time, the stressors that come with the in-laws. We love everybody and we want to be with everybody, but there's only just so much of us to go around. It's a great time of year and it's exciting and it's fun and it's pleasurable. And our entire society just kind of shuts down, or I shouldn't say shuts down, but just focuses for this month on this great celebration that we have. No sooner do we finish our Thanksgiving prayers and our Thanksgiving meal than we head out to the malls to get more things to be thankful for, I guess, next year. Or maybe we weren't really thankful for those things to begin with. But here's the good news. The really awesome part of Christmas is the fact that since the beginning of the creation of universe, since the beginning of all time, this holiday, this time, this celebration that we're having was about the birth and arrival of Jesus Christ. That God had planned this from the very beginning. He knew the condition of our souls. He knew what was going to be required of us, that within our free will and our ability to choose right and wrong, that we would choose wrong. I want to read from you John chapter 1, 11 through 14. It says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, from his very first breath in the manger, from the very first breath he took to the very dying breath he took on the cross, his arrival was all about our salvation. Even in Genesis chapter 3, it didn't take long for us to discover as we read God's word that we were a fallen man, right? We have the situation with Adam and Eve in the garden, but even within that, the first thing that God does as he's addressing Adam and Eve and Satan himself, is he tells Satan in Genesis 3:15, he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he," singular, "he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." He already, at the very beginning, says that there is going to be one that's going to come and is going to rescue us from this sin, from these decisions that we've made. It's the most wonderful time of the year for most of us. But to some, Christmas isn't quite so merry. We sing songs, we have a good time, and for the most part, we enjoy the time, the season. But there are some of us that won't have a Merry Christmas this year. There are those among us that are facing terrible illnesses or struggling relationships, or maybe the memory of a family member that was lost during this time of year, or a friend. What's seen as a celebration for the greater population in the country is really not seen as a celebration for those that are just trying to cover up hurt and pain. You see, life doesn't stop because Christmas comes. Life doesn't just begin to feel better for everybody who's going through a struggle or a woe in their life. We can't forget those around us that are struggling. We can't forget those around us who find themselves with that hurt and with that pain. Consider some things like this. The sadness that a parent might express, or experience, I should say, when they have to make the decision on where their child is going to be, or a judge has made that decision on where their child is going to be with at Christmas. Maybe with them, maybe with somebody else. The cancer patient that won't be celebrating this Christmas but will be going through a chemo treatment. The orphan or the homeless person that might receive a meal or a gift during Christmas, but then yet sees all the evidence all around them of all the things they really wish they had. A home, a family, someone to love and to care for them all the time. We do a thing that's really cool at this church, and it's called Operation Christmas Child. And it's not just something that happens here. It's something that happens all across our country. And I heard a great interview with the Pastor Graham, the son of the awesome Billy Graham, who has found a way in his own way and in his own shape to carry on the amazing work that his father did. But he didn't do it just like his father. He did it in a unique way. His father was able to speak and communicate with thousands of people at a time. He chose to find a way to go and minister to millions of children around the world. Each year, we take those little shoeboxes and we fill them with gifts and exciting little trinkets and things. This year, over 150 nations will be affected by those boxes. They'll receive those boxes. And this year, the greatest year they've ever anticipated having, they will have 11 million of those boxes handed out. That's awesome. 11 million chances to share the gospel with the little notes and messages, with some of you put your picture in there or wrote a little note to the child. 11 million. But the other side of that is there are 11 million children that's all they'll receive for Christmas, that it may be the only time in their lives that they actually received a Christmas gift, might be the only time in their life that they actually received a gift at all. So while we're embracing the holiday season, we have to remember that there are those around us, there are those around the world, that this holiday season, it won't be quite as merry as it is for some of us. Life keeps going when Christmas happens. If you're struggling to find the merry in Christmas, I want you to look no further than the example of the actual Christmas story to realize at the very beginning it wasn't a merry, happy Christmas. It was a Christmas full of joy. It's a Christmas full of excitement. But it wasn't this neat little child hanging out with some farm animals on Christmas morning. It was more behind the story than that. And I want to touch base on that this morning because I want those of you that are going through something that's going to make the Christmas not so merry to understand that there is joy within Christmas that isn't just about the happiness and the glam and the Hallmark Christmas. But I also want those of us that have the opportunity to enjoy ourselves this Christmas to not forget those either and to find ways to minister at great depth. First, we'll start with the cute little young Jewish couple. Anybody ever been around a couple that's expecting to get married? They're in love. They're happy. They're excited. Joseph is off making that room that will be added to his parents' house where when it's ready and his father gives him permission, that he can then go and get the woman that he is betrothed to, the woman that he's engaged to, and bring her back to his house and they can start their little life together. They have everything to look forward to. Mary's excited. She's looking forward to being with Joseph. And then it all seems to go wrong. Look at what happens to Joseph. Right off the bat, he finds out that his bride-to-be is with child and it's not his. Can you imagine the hurt and the sadness and the confusion, the humiliation that he must have felt in those first days when he found that out? To recognize that, man, this woman that I love is carrying another child. What faith did it take for him to be able to accept the dream from God and to be able to believe Mary when she said, no, it's not what you think? To take on the humiliation that he would face from his neighbors and from the church that he attended and all those people that were around, and to stick with Mary. He could have made it easy on himself. He could have decided to just divorce her publicly and cause her great harm, or like the Bible says he intended to do it quietly and dignified. But instead, he stuck with her. There are passages in Deuteronomy 22 talks about just how to handle this kind of case. And it actually says if Joseph had decided to divorce her and then the father came back and said that he was wrong and that it really was his baby, that Joseph could be in trouble. In Deuteronomy 22, 18 through 19, it says, and the elders of that city will take the man and punish him. They will also fine him 100 silver shekels and give him to the young woman's father. Because that man gave the Israelite virgin a bad name, she will remain his wife. He cannot divorce her as long as he lives. It could have backfired, but he chose to do what God said, and he chose to be faithful. Then we have Mary. Think about this. Mary was the age of an 8th or 9th grade girl. So you imagine a 9th grade little girl facing a crisis pregnancy, and she's not going to be able to have any support group. She's not going to be able to have her family necessarily come along and support her in this and the community be happy for her. She's only going to have, in addition to the confusion and not understanding what's going on with her body and having to have this child, to have everybody look at her as some sort of horrible human being. She knows the joy that is within her, but God chose to use Mary. I think sometimes we think of Mary as this weak person, this innocent person that is having trouble, and think of how strong she was to be able to endure that and do what was right and only know between her and God and Joseph what was really going on. Mary even considered herself a nobody as far as society was concerned. She knew that she wasn't quote-unquote important. She calls herself the lowliest of servants. If you look in Luke chapter 1, it says this. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The first time pregnant, and now she gets to go on this journey. The whole land was told that they had to go take care of a census. Now, I don't know if you find it annoying that the census papers are going to come next year, right? We're going to have to open the envelope, and we're going to have to fill out all the paperwork and check some boxes and fill out some forms. And if you think that's bad, imagine having to travel 80 or 90 miles before there were cars and to do it while you're pregnant. And let's remember that the census wasn't just so the Roman Empire could see what kind of awesome community projects they could do in your area. It was just so they could know how much they needed to tax you. They were an occupying empire. It wasn't a pleasant trip by any standard. It was an interruption of everything that was happening in society at that time. And Mary, in her very first pregnancy, is going to make that journey. Now, let's be honest here. If Mr. Joseph wasn't wise enough to get on Expedia and rent a hotel room, all right, he probably didn't go and rent a vehicle either, or a donkey. Pastor Kevin and some of us go back and forth, and Pastor Kevin is adamant that Mary did not ride a donkey. She wouldn't have had enough wealth. She wouldn't have had the ability or the money to be able to afford a donkey. Donkeys would have been in short supply because everybody was traveling. I like to think that some kind other traveler would have seen this poor little pregnant girl and would have given her a ride at least for a couple miles. That way I can justify all the pictures I see of Mary on the donkey. But no matter whether she rode or whether she walked, an 80 to 90 mile journey. I've been with a pregnant woman riding in a car before. I know that that's not easy, much less walking or riding a donkey. You see, she went through great peril. And then when it all came about, when they finally get there, and after some time, we don't know how long that they're there, the only place they have to stay is in a stable. I love how we sing the song about the cattle are lowing. I was around a lot of cows this past week. And when a cow moos, it isn't exactly like this beautiful lowing sound. When a herd of cows comes at you, they want one or two things. They want food, or they want you to get out of the way, right? And so here she is, surrounded by whatever cattle it was, whether it was sheep or goats or cows, the donkeys from the other travelers. Animals smell. They attract bugs, lots of flies. They don't know when and where to go to the restroom. And the Christ child will be born in this. We look at the nativity scene and we think it's so beautiful and cute, but we don't really put ourselves in that situation to realize just how filthy it was. And if their individual struggles weren't difficult enough, as they started their life together after the Christ child was born, it got even worse. Thanks to the Magi, they knew that they had to flee because Herod was about to do something awful and diabolical. We often don't want to talk about this side of the story. We want to kind of glance over it. But he asked that all the children be executed. He was so jealous, so paranoid about somebody coming and taking over his authority, that he would issue out a decree that little children, little babies would be murdered. Think of their family and friends that lived in the general area that they knew that were going to be struggling with that. Mary and Joseph were able to escape to Egypt, probably in no small part to the gifts that they received from the Magi to fund their trip. But just imagine what they had to think about. Everybody else was going through behind. How many husbands, how many fathers stepped in the way of those Roman soldiers and took the sword themselves to protect their sons? How many young Jewish women were widowed and left childless in those nights? And so this young little family, refugees in a foreign country, without much means, away from home and family, not getting to enjoy the room that Joseph had built for them, finds themselves alone, not even knowing when they would finally be able to come back. You see, the first Christmas really wasn't that merry, but what it was full of was joy. Because you have to know that in the midst of all this going on and all their trouble and all their turmoil, that as soon as little baby Jesus came out, as soon as Mary and Joseph looked upon his face, there was just a joy that came over them that knew not only were they seeing the Christ child, but that they had been obedient and they had fulfilled the duties that God had asked of them. As Christ followers, each and every one of us has uniquely been equipped by things that have happened in our past and things that are happening in our present to make an impact on other people's lives. We call that around here, we call it our shape. We've all been shaped uniquely by God and by circumstance. If he can use a struggling Mary and Joseph to make an incredible impact in the world, a little peasant couple, and he chooses to use them to issue in the most amazing thing he's done in the creation of his universe, then certainly he can use us. He's asked and even commanded us that we love others, that we love others as we even love ourselves. He pointed out to us that a neighbor was not just somebody next door, but a neighbor was literally everybody that comes across our path, even our enemies. If he can use the least of us, if he can use the least of them, then certainly we can make an impact too. I want you to listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise by human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth, but instead God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong." I don't think many of us in this room came from nobility. I don't think many of us are particularly powerful or have lots of money, but we still have the ability to be used by God to make a terrific impact in people's lives, to be able to worship him like we just got finished doing, to proclaim him to all the world for how great he is, but also to love others. Each of us is called to find a way to think about those that are not going to have a Merry Christmas. When Jesus came into this world and he took his first breath, he brought light into the world. And he asked us to emulate his light, to be the city on the hill and to be light to other people. Listen, there's a difference in our society. Right now, it's really easy through GoFundMe or all these other methods to just give charity out to people. And charity is good. Christ himself said that we're supposed to be charitable, that we're supposed to help orphans and widows. This is a good thing, and we should do it often. But what he never intended was for charity to replace ministry. See, there's a difference between ministering to somebody and just giving something to them. I can go to the mall right now, several malls, and they have these giving trees, and I can go and I can pull an envelope off a tree, and it'll have a child's name, and I can pack a Christmas present and wrap it and put their name on it and put it under the tree and return it to them, and that is a good thing, and that will make an incredible impact on the life of that child. But what we need to do is much more. That's a do something and walk away. Ministry is dirty. It requires time and energy and commitment. It requires you to be present day after day or week after week, to not find ways out, but to find ways to make it happen, even when things around you aren't going well in your own life. Ministry is tough. Ministry looks like loving someone through their final weeks on this earth. Ministry looks like loving the unlovable in our prisons. It looks like crying and supporting a parent when their child has made a devastating choice, and then walking through the next couple of weeks or months or years as they recover from that devastating choice. It looks like a loving and caring for an older widowed neighbor month after month. It looks like starting a friendship with someone who lives a different lifestyle than you do. Not because you want to change the way they live their lifestyle, but because you want to show them that you love them no matter what their lifestyle is. It looks like helping a young woman through a crisis pregnancy and then loving and supporting the child and the mother as they get on their feet. It's inviting a homeless person into your home for a meal. Not just once, but inviting that same person over and over and over again so that you actually build a relationship with them and learn what their story is and how they got into the predicament they're in. They need to be loved too. What if every household in this church decided to do something radical like that this Christmas? In addition to our giving, in addition to us being charitable, what if we all took on some unique project and found somebody who wasn't having the merriest of Christmases and did something really big for them, something really long-lasting? Think of just how much of an impact we can make. It would last so much longer than a meal that they would eat and forget, or a toy from Walmart that would eventually fall apart. It would be something that could last potentially their entire eternity. I want us to go back to the stable that night. I want you to think about when Mary screamed that last time, and then the blood and the water flowed, and then that little baby infant boy was born, and he took his first breath, and he started to cry. At that moment, in a dark and cramped and smelly animal pen, the world changed forever. Light entered into the world. And because of him and because of what God had planned from the very beginning, what he calls the great mystery, the world would never be the same. Going back to John chapter 1, I want to read the start of that passage. And it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has ever been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We need to be his light. As we end our time together today, I wanted to have you think about this. I want you to consider how important it was the way Jesus came into the world. Because the way he came into the world says a lot about the way he feels about the world, the way he cherishes the world. He came for the least of these, but he also came for the greatest of these. Don't forget, just like he came to the lowly shepherds, he came to the magnificent magi, men that were of such wealth and prosperity that they could take great journeys across multiple countries. When he entered into this world, he demonstrated from the beginning his humility, his willingness to die and sacrifice, to love all mankind. In addition to it speaking about how he feels about the world, it speaks to us about how he wants his church to love the world. It speaks to us about how we as the bride of Christ are supposed to anticipate his arrival, but while we're waiting, just like a good bride waiting for a husband to come for her, that he does the things, that we do the things that he would want of us. That just like he loved the world, that we would love the world too, unconditionally, and find ways. Consider two things. If you're in a place where you're not going to have such a Merry Christmas because life's woes aren't going to stop for you, remember that there's a difference between the Merry Christmas and the joy of Christmas. The joy is everlasting. It's looking into that baby's face, looking into the hope he brought to humanity, and knowing that you are loved unconditionally, and that salvation is in your future. And if you are so lucky to not have one of the woes of life facing you, then find somebody who is and make a difference in their life.